Our special speaker is one among us, Mark Andringa. Come on. And I heard Mark sharing this teaching about a month ago, I guess. And I was like, Mark, you got to share that with the church. Will you share that with the church? And so he agreed. So let's just pray for Mark as he brings the word this morning. Lord, we just bless, Lord, our brother, our friend, Mark. We just ask you, Holy Spirit, to anoint him to speak your truth and your life. Lord, and we just open our hearts to receive this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I've heard Matthew say before, like, isn't it amazing when, like, your sermon is preached before you even stand up here? Like, the worship, the prayers, the blessing of one another, like, amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. So thank you, Lord. And we were talking about Holy Spirit being like a river, right? And when we jump in the river, he aligns us, right? We're all going the same direction. So so I think he's doing that today, and I'm just so grateful to be with you. So thank you for the privilege of being able to share what he's been showing us. We're going to talk today about the power of blessing. So Grace and I, my wife, lovely wife, if you haven't met Grace, we have been in prayer ministry for a long time, and a few years ago, the Lord really put on our heart this phrase. It says, sometimes the best defense is a good offense.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
We're going to play offense today, right?
Yeah.
And I think we've been playing offense today.
Yeah.
So worship is offense.
Yeah, man.
Blessing others is offense.
Yeah.
Coming in the opposite spirit is offense.
Yeah.
We are taking ground for the kingdom by the grace of God.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So that phrase, sometimes the best defense is a good offense, is sort of a sports phrase. I don't know if you've heard that before, but you know, in basketball, for example, if your defense isn't great, but your offense is awesome, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And in football, same thing from a points standpoint, but if you keep the ball, if your offense always has the ball, then the enemy or the opponent never has an opportunity.
Right.
So I feel like standing in the power of blessing for one another is a way of...
Come on. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Excuse me. It's a way of holding on to the ball.
Yeah.
And advancing the kingdom.
Yeah.
So...
So good.
I was laughing at the songs. The song that started out, it's "I'll Be Undignified for You." Well, I sometimes get choked up when I feel Holy Spirit, so I apologize in advance. I used to resist it. Now I just feel like it helps me know I'm on target. So I've made peace with it. If it makes you uncomfortable, I'm sorry. Don't be uncomfortable, and we'll all be all right. So how do you fight darkness? So you don't punch at it, you don't get in the mud and wrestle with it, you just turn on the light.
Yeah.
So God is good, Jesus is King, in him there's no darkness at all, the darkness has to flee.
Yeah.
So let's spend time talking about turning on the light.
Yeah. Come on.
So when we speak and proclaim blessings, we're taking ground for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So as a follower of Jesus, do you know that your words are powerful? That you have authority to change the atmosphere?
Amen.
That Jesus has given you?
Amen. That's it.
Amen.
Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
He's given you gifts. And did you know that your Heavenly Father is scandalously generous?
Yeah.
Obnoxiously over the top generous.
Yeah.
If you were walking around with Father God and you saw all he was giving away, you'd be like, whoa, hold on.
Come on.
He's not saying hold on. There's more than enough.
Right.
Come on. Come everybody.
That's right.
So God's love and promises are for you and for your children and for your children's children and for all who are far off and all who are near.
Yeah.
And so we have the privilege of sharing God's promises and his gifts with everybody we meet. So let me share a recent example I feel like God has highlighted in the earth about the power of blessing. So as you all know, a little over 2 years ago, we woke up to this idea of COVID. We all thought we were going to go into isolation for 2 weeks and come back.
Yeah.
And but just before that, Thursday night, February 27th, Carrie Jobe and Cody Carnes and some of the songwriters at Elevation Worship were working together, and they wrote a song. And it was based on Numbers 6, 22 to 27. So let's just read that together for a second. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites.'" So whose idea was this, by the way?
The Lord.
The Lord, right. "Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.' So they will put my name on the Israelites and I'll bless them." So what are they doing?
Yeah, they're blessing.
They're writing God's name on them.
Wow. So good. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
They're literally painting the target on the people of God. Say, "Go get them, God." And he says, "I will bless them." It's a promise. You do it, he'll do it. So let's just take God's word at face value.
Wow.
And when he says it, let's try it. It's like Matthew was saying about try it with tithing. Try it with blessings. Try it with verbal blessings, pouring out God's goodness on one another. And I want to emphasize, it's a one another thing, right? Aaron was doing it for the people. Well, in Christ, we can do it for the Aarons, the pastors, but we can do it for the people, and we can do it for the one another.
Yeah.
So he told us to love one another, and it seems like giving away God's goodness to one another is an amazing act of love.
That's right.
So let's participate in that with him.
Yeah.
So back to the song. So that song was February 27th. 2 days later, let's see, it was Thursday night, so Sunday, they sang it in church, and they recorded it, you know, the video live stream. Mm-hmm. 2 days after that, they put it on YouTube. Like, 10 days after that, Carrie Jobe released it as part of a live song or album. And just, you know, so that was maybe March 10th. And that's about when we woke up to this idea, like, whoa, we got to go stay in our houses for a while? And, like, talk about a change to the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And within a month, different cities and nations had recorded this song with teams of worshipers singing it together. And you guys all know this song. Maybe you're sick of the song. But I would ask you to listen to this song with new eyes and new ears here in a minute. But there were songs from, I just did a quick YouTube search, Australia, New Zealand, the UK, South Africa, Zimbabwe, Nigeria, Ghana, Sweden, Germany, Belgium, Pakistan, Lebanon, Italy, Cyprus, Dubai, the Arab world, Japan, Malaysia, Indonesia, China, India, Brazil, Latin America, the Caribbean, Uzbekistan, Armenia, Israel, Nepal, Canada, and countless more. Individual cities did it. And that original video from Elevation Worship has 64 million views right now over the last 2 years. There's a Latin American version that has 33 million views.
Wow.
And if you added them all up and you thought about all the streaming, all the times it was sung in worship, all the times it was on the radio, like, it's got to be 300 million times that people have sung this blessing.
Wow.
Over the earth. So let's listen to one together. This is from South Africa. We have a special place in our heart for South Africa and know a few of these folks, but just receive this. They're giving you a gift.
Yeah.
Just go home. Thank you, Lord. I just find it so encouraging that just before we went into just a really hard time all over the world, the Lord made a song. Because he wanted us he wanted us to sing it out loud together, right?
Yeah.
In unity.
Yeah.
There's power in your words.
Yeah.
And it's got to be out loud.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Speak it out into the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And of all the scriptures he chose, he didn't choose "If my people will humble themselves." Which is true. Yeah. It is true. But that wasn't the word for the time.
That's right.
The word for the time was, "I'll put my name on you."
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
That's
good. So I just think, what's the spiritual impact of a song like that?
Mm-hmm.
With all these nations and all these people and all the unity displayed in the worship.
Yeah.
Over the world. He's just so good. He's just so good. I don't think there's ever been a time in history when the whole world was praying the same thing. I mean, even if you go back to World War II, there were still sides to that war.
Right.
Who knows what
right.
one side was praying the other side, but God unified us in an amazing way, and the words he chose were blessing. So let's talk about blessing a little bit. So blessings aren't just good thoughts, they're God's thoughts.
Yeah.
Right? So just saying a compliment out of your soul, that's nice and that's kind. But speaking God's heart to other people are God's thoughts. And those are God's heart.
Yeah.
And you're releasing a gift to people when you do that.
Yeah.
So we're invoking the authority of Jesus Christ when we agree with him and his word.
Mm-hmm.
And we agree with the Father. And we should count it a privilege as Holy Spirit-filled people of God to loose the kingdom of God.
Yeah, that's right.
On earth as it is in heaven. And we should expect there to be a supernatural result. So I've been in intercessor communities, and sometimes you can be in a community and they're all, you know, stirred up about what's going on in the darkness. And I just say, let's spend a little bit of time and just turn on the light. And just as we are concerned that the enemy might actually be doing stuff, we should expect that when we speak blessings, God's doing stuff.
Yeah.
Right? So there is a power in our words that I don't think we recognize.
Yeah.
And I know for me, I've been challenged to say, Lord, really? Like, do my words matter? Really? Are you really that kind and that good? And he is. He is, over and over.
Wow.
So, as we're thinking about blessing, what I love about blessing is it's one part prayer ministry, healing the broken places, and one part prophetic declaration, aligning with God's heart and speaking it out. And there's a grace on those words to actually make it manifest in the earth.
Yeah.
So what a joy that we get to see healing in the kingdom flow out of this river, the Holy Spirit who's in us.
Amen.
So I feel like, as the Lord has shown me more and more of his kindness, I have a heart of gratitude that grows in me. And that heart of gratitude comes out in generosity towards others. When you recognize how generous our Father in heaven is to us, you just can't help but be generous to others. So one sort of key as we think about blessing and how do we stand in that as a community, I feel like we already do. I mean, as we were worshiping today, I was like, Lord, you're already doing this. But I'm hoping that as we put words to it, it sharpens it, and it brings it forward, and it becomes part of who we are.
Amen.
So I feel like there's a timing to these topics. So Matthew, 2 weeks ago, was talking about the Father's heart. The Father's heart of love for us. Love is everything. God loves you. He loves you and you and you. And he loves the person on the corner. And he loves the person that's living a life that we might not approve of. He loves the person that disagrees with us politically. He loves the people that we might think are disqualified. Because Jesus came to save sinners. So, hey, let's all just jump right in that pool and say, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
And I will not withhold the blessings of God from anyone based on what they've done or not done.
Yeah.
Because.
Thank you.
Yeah. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So we have no ground to look at anybody and think they don't deserve the blessing of God.
That's right.
And the Lord says, it's my kindness that leads them to repentance.
Yeah.
So as people see the goodness of God, God lines them up. They jump in the river. And like we were just saying, like, you're in line now. You're flowing with the rest of the things that God's doing on the earth.
Yeah.
So let's not worry about where people are today, but let's call them into where he wants to put them.
Yeah.
And let them be that in the kingdom.
Amen.
With the rest of us.
Yes.
Because we didn't deserve it. They don't deserve it, but God did it anyway.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
So good.
So the Father's love, and that revelation of the Father's love, that's everything. That's foundational. We start there, right? So if we get a grasp of just how much the Father loves us, gratitude rises up in our hearts. It just has to. So if you feel like that's not your normal way of thinking, say, Father, show me your love.
Yeah.
I can't do it, but do it in me.
Yeah.
And he'll do it. He'll answer it.
Yeah. Amen.
He'll answer that prayer.
Yeah.
And then last week, Matthew was talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit and being receiving supernatural power. We need the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Right? What a gift. And how mind-blowing that the same Spirit who rose Christ from the dead lives in you. And he wants to come out of you. We were talking today a bunch of times. The Holy Spirit's like a river, right?
Yeah.
It's not a pond. It's not a lake. It needs to flow.
Yeah.
Right? So if you want to receive from God, it has to have a place to get out.
That's right.
So as you give it away, he gives you more.
Yeah.
So let's stand in the river together and proclaim blessing. Proclaim the goodness of God.
Yeah.
Stand on his promises.
Yeah.
Declare them over one another. Declare them over your city. So those are the setups that God's got us, you know, just like today, everything was kind of orchestrated. I'm like, wow, God, that's amazing. Well, over the last several weeks, over the last years, you could say over the last decades, God has been planning these things that we would stand in the goodness of God and give it away, that others would receive it too. So love, which was 2 weeks ago, the Father's love, power, which is last week. And I felt like the Lord said, love and power equals transformation.
Wow.
Like, God's love is never separate from his power.
Mm-hmm.
And God's power is never separated from love.
That's right.
They go together. If you don't have love, you're a clanging gong, right? Yeah. So love and power go together. And what happens when you put them together? You get transformation. So that transformation is individually. I think it's corporately here at River Life and our family. And I think it's globally, right? It's in the communities that we go. So we're just praying for love and power to be manifest in transformation.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think God's doing this for us. And all the gifts of the Spirit, they're for something. They're unto something. So it's not just for us. Praise God, we have an awesome time together. Thank you, Lord, that maybe individually you guys are experiencing the love of the Father. That's for you, 100%. We experience it together. That's amazing. We're in worship together and the unity and the joy and the freedom. That's amazing. But that's not where it stops. The Lord wants to fill us up and send us out.
Yeah, that's right.
So when we walk in the way of blessing, we create supernatural opportunities for God's goodness and generosity to be poured out on a broken and lost world.
Wow.
And it's connected to that harvest. His kindness leads us to repentance.
Yeah.
So when we talk about biblical blessing, let me just give you a definition on how I've been thinking about it. There's this book called The Way of the Blessing by Roy Godwin. He's a gentleman that for a time ran a retreat center in Wales called Faldy Brennan. It's a great book, full of awesome testimonies, and I highly recommend it. But there's a definition he gave, which is, blessing is the bestowing and receiving of God's uncertain love, favor, his presence, goodness, prosperity, and fruitfulness for his people. So blessing's been a part of the story from the very beginning. The Old Testament mentions blessing about 400 times, and in every case, it's something about bestowing and receiving God's favor, his presence, his goodness, his prosperity, and his fruitfulness. But it started in the garden. When he made Adam and Eve, he looked at them, he said, it's good. It's the very first blessing. It's good. And then in Genesis 12, I want to put this slide up. This is for all of us. He made a covenant with Abram at the time, and his descendants, and he chose Abram, and he blessed him.
Yep.
And he said, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I'll curse, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So God's blessing isn't for us. It wasn't for Abram. It's not for just the Israelites. It's for all the world to be blessed.
That's good.
So God chose people. In this case, Abram, right, was the first promise. But he chooses you and me and broken people and confused people to be agents of his goodness and his kindness and his blessing for others. So I just want to talk, too, just to erase any doubt. we're not talking about the prosperity gospel. We're not talking about more money, more cars, bigger house. God may give you those things. Bless you if he does. That's amazing. But he's actually, Jesus is pretty clear that sometimes the things of this world make it harder to be close to Jesus and the Father and to abide in his kingdom. His kingdom's an upside down kingdom. The first shall be last. The one who gives is the one who receives. The poor, blessed are the poor in heart and the broken. So if you find yourself in any of those, if you look at the Beatitudes, if you find yourself in any of those places, rejoice. God is good and he's for you.
Yeah.
We don't like that, especially in the West. We don't like being uncomfortable, but sometimes the blessing comes through being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So let's look at slide five here. There's two verses in Matthew 6. I commend the whole chapter to you. It's great about thinking about finances and material goods and things. Jesus is amazing. And he talks to you, two verses. He says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Mm-hmm.
So my heart belongs to Jesus. That's where I want my heart to be. But seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things, food, clothes, provision, all these things will be given to you as well. So he's not going to leave you. He's not going to leave you stuck without an answer. Jesus always has an answer.
Yeah.
So what we're really talking about is blessing out of a heart of love. If you look at this verse in 1 Corinthians 13, what is love? This will keep you in the center of God's heart. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, it always perseveres.
Amen.
So as Paul says, follow the way of love. It'll keep you out of the ditch. So we're going to follow the way of love and proclaim blessing to our brothers and sisters, to our cities, to the nation, to all the nations. Because
yeah.
We are blessed to be a blessing.
Yeah.
So one second key, gratitude, the goodness of the Father, key number one. Key number two is the presence of God. I want to look at Deuteronomy 10:8. So in the Old Testament, God gave the Levites, the priests, the role and privilege to pronounce God's blessings on the people. He says, at that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister and to pronounce blessings in his name, as they still do today. So I think it's important to notice that the job of blessing the people was connected to stewarding and ministering the presence of God. So we carry the presence of God in us. As we worship together, we experience the presence of God. We magnify the presence of God. We worship the Lord. And that is where our tank gets filled to be able to pour out blessing. So let me tell you a little testimony about this place, Faldy Brennan in Wales. It's a community. It was a retreat center. This gentleman, Roy Godwin, didn't really want the job, but he took it anyway. It's a fun story in and of itself. And he felt like the Lord said, just build a regular routine of worship and prayer at this place. And then invite people to come and encounter the living God. And they developed this practice where visitors would come. Many would just show up and say, I'm not exactly sure why I'm here, but what goes on here? And he would show them around and just have hospitality. And he would take them to the chapel. And he says, one of our practices here is to just give a short blessing to people. Would it be okay if we blessed you? And they would just, a short prayer, tapping into God's heart for this person, say, Lord Jesus, would you bless them? Bless them with whatever. And people would have the most crazy encounters. Then they would just leave. They'd leave them to the Lord to work on them in the chapel. And the blind see, the lame walk. I mean, every miracle you can imagine came forth, and it was out of that simplicity of standing in the presence of God and loosing a blessing. Wow. So Roy described their approach as a grace-first approach. And as Romans 2, we already talked about, God's kindness leads us to repentance. So Roy wasn't concerned who they were, or where they came from, or what they were struggling with. He just knew God loved them, and he wanted them to experience him. Not just know about him, but experience them.
Good.
And that's Jesus' approach too. When we minister blessing, we have to turn away from judgment and condemnation. And it is everywhere. The enemy will put out all sorts of hooks trying to hook you into offense and to judgment about other people.
Yeah.
And I think we just need to stay in that place of God's kindness leads us to repentance.
Yeah.
He did it for me. He'll do it for them. So yeah. The people that we encounter are not our enemy.
Right.
The people are not the enemy. The enemy of our souls is Satan. And he lies, kills, and destroys, steals. That's what he does.
Yes.
And the Lord, Jesus, has made him a footstool. He is under the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
So that's not our problem.
Mm-hmm.
And people are not our problem. So there's a verse in Matthew 10, which really kind of hooked me in this idea of blessing, and it says, as you go, proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. So just because I felt like the Lord was emphasizing this, let's just declare to get today,
amen,
together, the kingdom of God has come near.
Yeah.
Let's do it again. The kingdom of God has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons, freely receive, freely give. Everything we've got, we receive freely.
Right.
And he says, give it away. And then this is when he sent out the disciples. He sent out the 12, and he sent out the 70. And they saw all kinds of crazy things happen. They saw the enemy. They saw people delivered and set free. They saw people healed. And they're like, whoa, Lord, this is amazing. And Jesus, right after he sends out the 70, there's a little verse where Jesus talks about Jesus. In the Amplified, it says, leaping and bounding with joy, said, thank you, Father.
Yeah. Wow.
Thank you, Father, that he revealed the kingdom to such as these.
Yeah.
So, what a joy we get to participate in that.
Yeah, that's right.
So, freely received, freely you've received, freely give. What does the Holy Spirit mean by that? So what have we received in Christ? And sometimes we need to stop and count because maybe we forget. You know that old phrase, count your blessings? Well, there's power in it. So what have we received? And here's just a handful of things to get you started. Our Father in heaven's way more generous than we know. It won't run out. It won't run out. Whatever we discover in him will never run out.
Yeah.
So give it away. And you'll get more.
Yeah.
That's fine. It's a promise.
That's right.
So we've received love because he first loved us. We receive grace and forgiveness. We receive reconciliation to the Father.
Yeah.
Peace between God and man. We receive Christ himself. His life for our life.
Yeah.
Best trade ever. Another song we were singing earlier, we receive joy for a spirit of mourning, right?
Yeah.
We see beauty for ashes. So it's all a big trade. Everything at the cross is a big trade. We trade all the junk that we carry with us in our humanity, and we get all of him.
Yeah, that's right.
And in him there is no darkness at all.
Yeah.
So praise God. We get his mind, his heart, his compassion, his intimacy with the Father. We get shalom, which shalom is defined peace, harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, welfare, tranquility. We receive the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We've received grace and an equipping to live a life fully devoted to him. We've received wisdom and revelation and all the knowledge of the kingdom of God. We've received promises and provision and protection and guidance. And of course, we've received the power and authority to heal the sick and cast out demons. Wow. So use it.
Yeah.
Use it.
Wow.
So we get to give all that away and more. The list is endless. You know, you'll never get to the end of God's goodness. So if you're wondering, like, what should I give away today, Lord? Ask him. Maybe he'll tell you something new. And praise God.
That's good.
The second passage, I think, that kind of hooked me on this journey of blessing is Matthew 16, 18 and 19. He's telling Peter. He says, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So, again, let's take the scripture at face value. What exactly does it mean, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven? And I think first it just means earth and heaven are connected. Like, it aligns with the prayer Jesus taught us. He says, our Father who art in heaven, and let it be on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah.
So Jesus brought heaven to earth. He came and proclaimed the kingdom of heaven is near. So this idea of earth and heaven being connected, thank you to Jesus, it's very connected, right? And secondly, this idea about the authority to bind and loose. So some of us, especially if you've been in any sort of prayer training, you know that you have the authority to bind the enemy. That's to tie him up and stop him from interfering with whatever's going on. So in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind whatever spirit or negative thing that you're experiencing that's from the enemy, and I tell it to go.
Yeah.
Right? So we have that authority. But we don't talk about loosing that much. Like, what is it to loose heaven? And we go back to the freely you've received, freely give. Like, what's the list of all the things that we get to loose here on earth? We get to loose the goodness of God in the land of the living. So if the Bible says that in Christ Jesus we're a royal priesthood, we're adopted sons and daughters of the Father, we're co-heirs with Christ, we're seated in heavenly places with Jesus, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're given delegated authority to bind and to loose, and we're instructed to be generous with the gifts of God, why wouldn't we be people of blessing?
Yeah.
So I just feel like the Lord's been stirring that here among us. I think we're already doing it. Yeah. And I just want to put a point on it to say the Lord has made us a community of faith that knows that we are loved by the Father, that are filled by the Holy Spirit, that others might be blessed and called into fellowship with the Father. Yeah. And they too can experience the goodness of God.
Amen.
That's just what he's doing.
Yeah.
So I want to give you some practical thoughts about how this might fit in your life. It's really up to you and the Holy Spirit. I think it's more a lifestyle than it is a prayer strategy. I mean, I learned it, and the God was teaching me it as we were praying for people who were going through difficulty. Like, rather than fight the difficulty, let's just pour on the blessing. Let's come like a flood with the goodness of God.
Wow.
So we can do that anywhere at any time.
Yeah.
So if you experience or you sense that there's something that's just not right in the atmosphere, in a relationship, in a person, in a city, in a structure, we can pour out blessings. So here's a few examples to get you started. So family. So that week that Matthew talked about the Father, we gave what was like a father's blessing at the end, right? So the father and mother have a great role of blessing your kids.
Yeah.
Bless them. Speak over them. Speak identity into him.
Yeah.
So when the father saw Jesus at his baptism, he says, this is my son, whom I love.
Yeah.
Right? That's an identity word that the Lord gave him. Speak that over your kids.
Really
speak good. It over your parents. Speak it over your cranky old uncle. Speak it over whoever the Lord has put in your life. They're there because he put them there. So it's not an accident that they're in there. And you have the privilege of being an instrument of blessing to them. And watch them transform.
Yeah.
You should expect that this will matter.
Yes.
Yeah. Good.
Your home and your land. So land and places matter to God. Plead the blood of Jesus over the land and bless the land to be fruitful, to come into alignment with his design. Speak peace and forgiveness over the land.
Yeah.
Over past sins or conflicts. So we bless the land. Your community or neighborhood. So bless marriages, bless family relationships, bless your businesses and your community to thrive. Just one testimony in that book from Faldy Brennan. They're in sort of a rural area in Wales, and they really felt called that once a week they were going to just bless the community around them. So they were on a hill, so they could kind of have a view or a vista over all the people around them. And most of them were farmers, cattle and sheep. So they just started blessing the work of their hands, blessing their businesses, blessing their farms, blessing their relationships. And one of the farmers came up one day and he said, "Oh, it's been an amazing year. More of our cows gave birth to twins than we've ever seen." So I was like, well, there's a double portion. They were just getting, the God was just affirming them, you're on the right track. Keep blessing them. Keep blessing them. It's for the good of the community and for the good of the town.
That's it.
Bless your pastors and leaders. We bless you guys. Bless you guys. And they need it. We all need it. When you're praying for healing, you can bless medicines. You can bless bodily functions to operate as they should. We can bless immune systems. For autoimmune diseases, you can bless them with peace and reconciliation. Where the places where the bodies may be fighting against itself, mm-hmm. proclaim peace.
Yeah.
And bless them with it. I'll give you a quick testimony on that. So I had colitis since I was like 20 something, and colitis is like ulcers in your colon. So it was inflammation and bleeding. And I'd actually seen people healed of colitis before, but I still had it. And I was like, Lord, what's going on? And just at the end of a conversation, I was in another prayer appointment with somebody back in Washington, D.C., and he mentioned something about he had colitis. Could we pray for that? And I was like, well, so do I. So how about this? You bless me with healing, and I'll bless you with healing. And, we're going to pull on this promise, freely you've received, freely give. And we're going to get that Holy Spirit pump going. I'm going to give it away, even though I haven't got it yet. But in faith, trusting the Lord's going to backfill that pump, right? So he prayed for me. I prayed for him. I never saw him again. A week later, I went in for a colonoscopy, which is great fun if you've never done it. And I had a perfectly normal colon, 100% healed. The doctor, yeah. The doctor had no words for it. And Grace said, he just doesn't understand how to say, by the grace of God, I've been healed. So praise God. We can give away things that even if we don't have it yet, in faith that the Lord's going to backfill it for us, right? Because we're giving away his goodness and his grace. Forgiveness and reconciliation. If you can honestly bless someone, which is really the desire to see God's best poured out on them and tap into God's heart for them, you can forgive from the heart. So the parable of the unmerciful servant in Matthew 18 talks about, unless you forgive your brother from your heart, the father will treat you this way, which was put you in prison, basically. We don't want to be there, right? So what does it mean to bless from the heart? Well, I do believe that you can make a choice to forgive. I choose to forgive such and such a person for what they did to me. But sometimes you don't feel it yet. And you're asking the Holy Spirit, let me feel it.
Yeah.
Well, if you ask him for his heart for them to bless them, you're going to feel it. Mm-hmm. And you are set free in that. And I was praying with a woman once who was really in a tough spot and all kinds of bondage. And we started praying about her ex-husband who had done some horrible things. And we talked about this power to choose to forgive. And she did that. And then on her own volition, Holy Spirit led her to start blessing him. And that was where the release came. Like, she was completely delivered and set free. I mean, it was the most beautiful thing. And it was just forgiveness had really grown in her heart to the place that she could honestly bless him.
Wow.
And that's where forgiveness from the heart, that's a way I think the Lord helps orchestrate forgiveness from the heart. Whenever you're tempted to judge or blame others, like we said, that there's that temptation everywhere. Bless them. Recognize the temptation. Say, bless them. So another testimony is Grace and I were walking. We had this family farm property. It was an old 1800s house that needed a new roof. And we gave this guy a deposit. And we didn't hear from him for like 6 months. Like, are you going to come fix the roof? We need you. And some other members of the family started grumbling. And there was this growing concern that perhaps he took our deposit and just ghosted us. He's gone. And while Grace and I were talking about that, I just felt like the Lord was like, no, we need to bless this guy. So we blessed him. We blessed his marriage. We blessed the work of his hands. We blessed his team. So we were on a walk around it's a rural area. And we were just blessing him. And literally before I got home on my phone, he called me and he said, hey, my guys are ready to start your job on Monday. Can we drop off some ladders and stuff? I was like, whoa. So the timing, I don't believe the timing was a coincidence. I just feel like God sometimes helps me by giving me these examples to say, this matters. This matters. Trust my word. Take it at face value. It matters. And then lastly, your enemies. We have all sorts of enemies. Most of them aren't really our enemies, but we've somehow agreed that they are our enemies. And I'll just remind you that people aren't your enemy. Proverbs, and Paul mentions it in Romans 12 too. It says, when we serve and bless our enemies, it's like pouring hot coals on their head. We overcome evil with good. Like, you want to mess with the enemy's plan? He tries to bait you into being angry and mad and judge people. Bless him. Recognize that's a scheme of the enemy. I'm not going to cooperate with that. I'm going to bless him instead. And you'll see conflict just dissolve. You'll see problems and worries repaired by the blood of Jesus. And he's just that good. So, in short, I think you can paint a target, like we're talking about blessing. Paint a target on anybody and anything and ask the goodness of God to come out. And he promises in his word, he will bless them. So, finally, I just want to, there's two things to finish. One is James 2 says, suppose a brother or sister without clothes and daily food, if one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself that's not accompanied by action is dead. So sometimes, you know, even though we've been talking about spiritual blessings, sometimes there's going to be times where the Lord puts opportunities in front of you to be a physical, practical blessing to people.
Yeah.
Take that opportunity.
That's right.
Don't just pray them and say, go on your way, be well. And they're still stuck in their place and you had the means and the ability to be a blessing. And Holy Spirit will lead you in that. But I firmly believe kingdom multiplication comes as we give. We have a generous God.
Yeah.
It reveals his love and his kindness. Be generous in the myriad of ways that God will show you. So there's a few things the Lord put on my heart. I'm going to ask Grace to come up, if that's okay. She's amazing. Everybody, this is Grace. I know like 90% of you, so to the 10% we haven't met yet, we'd love to meet you. We just felt like there's a few activations and things that we could do to just kind of, let's let this baby flow out of us. And there's a few places that the Lord highlighted to me, and maybe he'll show us some more as we're doing this. But if you're willing, would you be willing to stand? And part of what will allow this generosity to flow is we're talking about the Holy Spirit as a river. Well, sometimes we got logs in our own eye, right? Our own judgments. We got things that have gotten in the way. And I think the Lord wants to take those things out of the way.
Yeah.
That we flow more freely in his goodness and in his blessings. So there's the first one, which we've talked about a little bit. The Bible says, beware of the yeast of Herod and the Pharisees. So Herod is legalism. It's symbolic of legalism.
Yeah.
and the political spirit, or excuse me, the political spirit, mm-hmm. and then the Pharisees is legalism. Mm-hmm. So those two things, they're everywhere, and we don't want to cooperate with them in any way. So let's agree together to break the lie, the agreement with the lie, that us or anybody has to be deserving of God's love and favor.
Yeah.
So, in the name of Jesus Christ, I take the lie that anyone has to be deserving of God's love and favor, and I nail it to the cross of Christ.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, would you just flow a gratitude in us? Would you just flow in us a recognition of your goodness?
Yeah.
That we might receive your goodness and be so overwhelmed by your love that we can't help but overflow with love.
Yeah.
And Lord, any place we've been tempted to judge others or make us and them categorizations, Lord, forgive us.
Yeah.
We just repent of that.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name. The next one, I'm going to have Grace pray for this. But secondly, the Lord says that we will be held accountable for our idle words. And James says, you know, out of the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Right? So out of our mouth comes blessing, but sometimes comes cursing. So let's just ask the Lord to purify our lips and our mouth, that we would be people that speak his heart.
Yeah.
And just, yeah.
Yeah.
You want to lead us in it?
Sure.
So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you have given us a mouth and a voice to speak glory, to speak of your love and your power. And Lord, we ask that you would cleanse us now in your presence, just as you, as Isaiah, when he saw you and he said, oh, woe is me that I am a man of unclean lips and I live in a people of unclean lips.
Yeah.
And you came and touched his lips with that coal, sent your angels to do that. Lord, we ask that you would purify our lips.
Yes.
That we would speak life and love.
Mm-hmm.
We ask your forgiveness where we have agreed with any misconception that we would be powerful in our words to be negative. Lord, we don't want negative power. We want loving, releasing, life-giving power.
Yes.
We want to bring blessing. So we thank you, Lord, for your cleansing.
Thank
we thank you, Holy Spirit. Just fill us all anew. Refresh us and sanctify us.
Yeah.
That we would not even be able to hear the negative thoughts, but we would just hear the thoughts of the Father's heart to speak out life and liberty, hope and truth,
yes,
goodness, kindness, and the favor of the Lord on everyone, even our enemies. And Lord, we just break off the spirit of offense that we've come into agreement with, that we thought we had to speak out. And we just ask you to forgive us for that spirit of offense. We just say, you must go. We bind you and send you straight to Jesus.
Yes.
And we thank you that we have the power of Christ in us to honor, forgive, and release greater blessing. And we even understand our words for us. So we thank you. They're your words that are going to come through our mouths for our families, for Chapel Hill, for this region, for our state, for the nation, and the world.
Jesus'
name.
And I'll just close with this. I just want to give you a blessing, if that's all right. So, Lord, I thank you for this house. I thank you for what you're doing here.
Thank
you that you are putting together love and power to yield transformation for us in the community.
God.
So in the name of Jesus Christ, I bless you in to receive God's heart for you, to experience his love and kindness and generosity beyond anything you could ask or imagine. I bless you to tap into God's heart for others, to feel in your heart an overflow of his love and generosity.
Yeah.
I bless you to have the courage to give it away when he shows you, and the joy of seeing multiplication of his love in your life. May the Lord confirm his word through you in his glorious, mysterious, supernatural way by the love and power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you all. If any of you have been on the ministry team before, if you want to come forward, if any of you would like just a quick prayer of blessing, we would love and be honored to do that. So come and receive and bless you.
Yeah.
Have a great week.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Mark.